Today's reading is Psalm 17, which can be found on page 550 of the Pew Bibles. So I'm going to read it from this because it's bigger. Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Hear me, Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people try to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent through what your lips have commanded. My steps have held to your path. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, Lord. Confront them. Bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may there be leftovers for the little ones. As for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. May God bless this reading and help us to apply it to our lives today.
First of all, I've got a confession to make. You know they give me the hymn numbers. The reason is that when I stand at the back and look at the up there, I get a crick in my neck. And also the second one is, if there's a mistake up there, I can still carry on. That's the reason I've got a hymn book, and I thank the church for giving it to me. But today it's Psalm 17. The Hebrew title of the book of Psalms is called Praises. Several people are named as authors, including Moses, Solomon, and David, the one we're looking at today. The Talmud, which is the Jewish oral law, also assigns some to Adam, Melchizedek, and Abraham. Several writers expressed their gratitude in these hymns of adoration, thanksgiving, joy, and dependence. Others of their times of grave trouble and are not afraid to speak of their dark times. The Psalms speak of five things. Number one, the Creator who deserves our praise. Two, the Teacher who demands our obedience. Three, the lover who expects our penitence. Four, the judge who examines our motives. And lastly, five, the helper who rewards our trust. Our Psalm 17 is entitled A Prayer of David. It is thought that it was spoken when David was fleeing from Saul, which occupied them several times in their lives together. Both Saul and David had conflicts. And then verse 17, do not sacrifice to the Lord your God. Well, that's the wrong one. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong. Apologies. Hear, O Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry and hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 8 to 11, we read this. If cases come before your courts that are too difficult for you to judge, whether bloodshed, lawsuits, or assaults, take them to the place the Lord your God will choose. Go to the Levitical priests and to the judge who is in office at that time. Inquire of them, and they will give you the verdict. But you must act according to the decisions they give you at the place the Lord will choose. Be careful to do everything they instruct you to do. Act accordingly to whatever they teach you and decisions they give you. Do not turn aside from what they tell you to the right or to the left. So here we find David praying to the Lord in this respect. So David's taking his case to the Lord. The psalm is in three sections, verses 1 to 5, a defense on the basis of his innocence, his cause is just. Verses 6 to 7, a call for God to defend against the enemy, to clear him his name and to break the wicked. And then verses 13 to 15, a prayer of deliverance from the wicked. It describes the terrible fate which awaits those who refuse to repent. And then finally, that last little verse, a note of thanksgiving. When have you felt singled out for punishment? When you were a youngster, your parents? When you were at school, your teacher? Or when you were working, your boss? Was it something you didn't do? How did you feel then? Were you terrified? And your worst fears came true. I remember when I was at school, at the senior school, we got in a fight with another lad. I forget what it was over, and we had to appear before the headmaster, as you did in those days. So lunchtime, we were all lined up in the school, the other people as well, besides myself and this other boy. And they came along and they said to the lad, whatever the dispute was he had with me, and he was given the cane. They don't do it these days, unfortunately. When he came to me, I got away. I didn't have the cane. And I think what it was, because the lad had told them what had happened. He was the cause of the fear that gave to us to have a cane. And so I got let off. So now let's look at the psalm itself. Verses 1 and 2. Hear me, Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry, hear my prayer, it does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindications come from you, may your eyes see what is right. David asked God to listen to his cry for righteousness, to be established in the matter. It is not a deceitful request, and as we read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, it says this, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. So God, if we bring our prayers to him and they're not true, he will not listen to us. If our prayer is not true, then they will become unacceptable to God. And David wants this to happen. He says, look, my prayer is true. I've got a problem here. I want to be in the right, and the others are all in the wrong. So he calls for God to evaluate his statement and examine him and exonerate him in this respect. And then we have verses 3 to 5. Though you probe my heart, and though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planted no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people try to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of violence, though what your lips have commanded. My steps have been held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. Here he asks God to examine his heart, and God will find that he's innocent of the accusation that's been made against him. He's not saying that he's sinful, he's not without sin, but on this occasion, the accusation that's been made against him is false. So he asked God to act as judge because he has continued to defend him of his innocence, and he prays for justice in this respect. And then we come to verses 6 to 9. I will call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Then here we find David is asking for protection. Again he asks God to hear his problem. And he awaits a prayer, his prayer to be answered by God. The mention of God's right hand is mentioned several times in Psalm 16 that Simon brought to us last week. He may have been referring to God's deliverance of the people of Israel on the way from Exodus, from Egypt through the Red Sea, which we read about in Exodus 15, where it says, "You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed him." A reference to the Egyptian people that were following the Jews, and eventually the tide came back, and they were swallowed up by the tide. Also, there may be a reference here to the apple in your eye, and we find that in hymn 27 that we sing, and we also have other references. And there's a reference here in Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. I think there's a song that says it talks about the apple of your eye, but I'm not sure. And again in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2, we read, "Keep my commands and you will guard and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye." Here the writer says to believe, to be in God. And it's written, this one passage was believed to be written by Solomon. So David asked for protection under the wings of the Lord. And we sang something like that at the beginning of the first hymn we had this morning. And Jesus speaks of the hen gathering her chicks under her wing when he looked down upon Jerusalem, but they refused to have his protection. I expect you've seen pictures on television of wildlife programs where birds have protected their young at times of danger. They gather them under their wings or under their feathers so they're protected when danger comes along. And here's an experience that David is asking for. David is aware of his enemies that were around about him, whose sole aim was to destroy him, to cut him down, to get rid of him. This can happen in our lives, not necessarily by killing us bodily, but by accusing us and giving discredit of us to others. I expect maybe you've had that in some respects in your lifetime. And then, of course, recently we've seen on television the recent case of the man who accused a number of senior politicians and service personnel of sexual offences, and eventually it proved to be false. But their lives were also affected by the accusations that he had made. And then we come to verses 10 to 12. "They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down, they now surround me, with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching for cover." David said that such people are blinded, and they keep on, they have no compassion for him, and other things as well. And we read in Psalm 73 these verses, "With their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceives of their minds that have no limits." And again in Psalm 119, "Their hearts are callous and unfeeling." So the psalmists in the Psalms also reveal that the callousness of people in their lives and the conduct they have and their failure towards them. Psalm 119 likens their conduct as that of a liar who has been known for their lack of compassion. So David likens their conduct in the way that a lion acts as it gets closer to its prey. And I say, but you've seen in television the lion crouching along through the grass towards the prey that he's got in mind. And then when he's ready and close, he pounces. And David feels this is the same with the people around and about him in that respect. And then the last few verses, verse 13 to 15. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked, and by your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those in this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may therefore be leftovers for their little ones. As for me, I shall be vindicated and shall see your face. I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Finally, David prays for God to vindicate him and to vindicate him against the wicked people that have been accusing him of various acts. In this respect, it probably was Saul accusing him of doing things that he shouldn't do. And he asks in Psalm 3, verse 7, to say, "Abide, arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God." It's a similar request that David made in the early parts of the Psalms. And when this time he was feeling after his son, Absalom. Remember in 2 Samuel 13 and 14, we read of how Absalom tried to get hold of David and take the throne and seize him. But in the battle, Absalom was killed by one of David's commanders. So David often refers to God's word, which we have as the Bible. Hallelujah for the word, God's word. And we can refer to God's word in such times of trouble. Many people in this day and age have no thought of God and only seek for themselves, as David says there, often to the detriment of others. They have their reward, he says, when we will all have to give what we have been doing, either for the Lord or against the Saviour of the world. And Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 25, when he comes in glory, people will be divided to the left and to the right. Those on the right will inherit the kingdom, whilst those on the left will be cursed and join the devil in eternal punishment. So, David, in the final verse, verse 15, appears to wake up as if he was in the temple for the night, seeking sanctuary, as they often did, and he gives thanks. He says, now he has a clear vision of God and his righteousness. And so, Lord, he thanks the Lord for the goodness that God gives to him, and he can come to the Lord in prayer, which is as part of is the psalm itself, the prayer of David. So in conclusion, on what basis do you or I make our plea to God? Do we really see God as judge when we see all the evil in the world around us? Can you compare the difference in your life with those who do not know God, who do not have his love, his righteousness, and finally his reward one day? So as the psalmist seeks help from God, let us help God seek God's help in every situation we find ourselves in, as David found himself in, and let us seek God in prayer for deliverance from people or forces that seek to get us day by day and week in, week out. So that's just a summary of the Psalm 17, a prayer of David, and we pray that we may be blessed as we read it again and again. And then next week we'll be looking in our series of Psalms at Psalm number 18, which is "The Lord is my rec." May the Lord bless us in all that we do and say, and thank you him for the word he produced for us. Amen. Now we're going to sing before